So our New Testament text this morning is out of the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 2, and we are looking at verses 23 through 28. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they, meaning the disciples, made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for anyone but the priests to eat. And he even gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath.'" The word of the Lord. The session of First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham was in a tizzy. They were in a tizzy because word had come to them that one of their members had done something so outrageous that they needed to act, so awful, so terrible, that they needed to take care of it and take care of it immediately. Now, had this just been the first time this person did this, maybe they wouldn't have been so upset. But he'd been warned. He'd been caught doing it before. And he'd been warned never to do it again. And if he did it again, the session would take action. So the session met, they passed a motion, they took the vote, and they went out to see him, and they expelled him from the life of the church. Now, this is mid to late 1800s. And what they expelled him for was, and I know you will be aghast, harvesting his wheat on the Sabbath. Yes, yes, you can all do that. He had already been caught harvesting his wheat once and had been warned, but no, he paid no attention and he harvested it again, and they expelled him from the life of the church. I love that story. You can find it in the archival minutes of the session. And I love it because it is just so much like our story this morning, only it has a different outcome. But let's just think about our story again for the moment, okay? So that we're all on board with what's taking place in this grain field with Jesus and his disciples. So it's the Sabbath, and they are out sort of wandering through this grain field, and the disciples are hungry. And because they're hungry, they reach down, they grab some wheat, they take care of it, and they start nibbling on the grains. This puts the Pharisees into a tizzy. Now, the Pharisees, just as a reminder, are a religious group, sort of a religio-political kind of party. And what they tried to do with their lives was strict adherence to every part of the law, the Torah. And so they're really trying to be sort of good folks, but when they see what Jesus' disciples are doing, they just kind of come unglued. I mean, I can just see them. They come to Jesus and they're like, "So Jesus, what are you going to do about these people? What are you going to do about these guys? You know they are violating the law." And they were violating the law because by the time of Jesus, there were 39 prohibited work things in the Pharisaic tradition. 39 things that were considered work that one was not allowed to do. And when those disciples, and we might think of it as a simple, well, they just picked up some grain. No, no. They were violating 10% of those laws. They were violating four of them. They were violating reaping, winnowing, threshing, and preparing food. Now, if you think that's a little outrageous, like I used to do when we lived in the Texas Panhandle and I talked about this text, one of our wheat farmers brought me some wheat and said, yeah, you don't think this is work? You try doing this. It's work. It is not easy to do. And so they want to know what Jesus is going to do about it. Well, what Jesus does about it is a very rabbinic kind of thing. First, he tells a story. He tells the story of King David when King David was on the run and his life was at risk. And he and his followers were hungry. And so he goes into the tent of meeting where only the priests were to go. And he grabs the bread of the presence, this holy bread. And he takes it and he eats it and he gives it to his friends. That's breaking the law. And basically what Jesus says is, see, hunger trumps the law. But then he makes this interesting comment that the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath, meaning Jesus gets to decide what's legal and what's not legal on the Sabbath. Okay, that's his response. Now, many of us, if you're like me, many of us, when we hear Jesus do that, we may be inside, though we may not be doing it outside. We may be doing it inside. Go, Jesus, go. Yeah, Jesus. You tell those legalistic Pharisees who's who and what's what. And you show them that it's all about grace and it's not about law. And you show them that they are not supposed to be legalistic about the Sabbath. And we get this sort of warm glow inside, that, which is okay, except that I think what we as 21st century Christians have done is in many ways we've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. That we've said to ourselves, well, we don't have to be legalists like the Pharisees on the Sabbath. We don't have to obey all of these 39 rules, so we really don't even have to pay attention to the Sabbath. We don't have to pay attention to it at all. But the problem with that is that the Sabbath is baked into creation itself. How many of you have ever baked bread? I should know not even to ask that question, considering we've been on lockdown for 14 months and everybody was doing sourdough bread, right? Okay, so being a faithful follower of God would be like, without the Sabbath, would be like baking bread without letting it rise, without allowing the time for the bread to rise, because Sabbath is baked in. That's what this piece out of Genesis tells us. It says, you know, that in the very beginning of things, on the seventh day, God rested and God blessed that restful day and God hallowed it. And Sabbath doesn't just show up there. You go to the Ten Commandments. And what have you got? Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, daughter, male, female, slave, livestock, whatever it is. And in fact, if you follow through the Torah, even the land gets a Sabbath. Every 7 years, the land is to lay fallow. Even the Sabbath, the land gets to rest. And so I think part of what we've done is we've just sort of said, well, the Sabbath is that thing, that Old Testament thing, and Jesus saying he's Lord of the Sabbath, that it's made for humans, then we can just sort of forget it. But again, we miss something critical about God and about our faith and about life if we don't take Sabbath seriously. So this morning I want to spend a few minutes talking about the what and the why of Sabbath. What is it? And I want to begin by saying what Sabbath is Sabbath is a gift to human beings and to the world. It's the gift of rest. The gift of rest. So, how many of you growing up, if someone said, well, what's the Sabbath? What are you supposed to do on the Sabbath? How many of you would have said, well, you go to church? Okay. The idea of going to church on the Sabbath is a late thing. Biblically speaking, they're not really all that connected. The Sabbath in the Old Testament is not about going to synagogue or temple and worshiping. The Sabbath is about rest. It's about taking a day off. It's about, I know, honey, it's about not working. Now, I love the fact you guys love to come to church on Sunday. Okay, don't get me wrong. But Sabbath is about rest. Because if we are to live in imitation of this God who is the Creator, if we are made in the image and likeness of God, and our lives are supposed to reflect God's life, then part of what that reflection is resting. Because that's what God did on day 7 of creation. God looked at creation and took a deep breath and just rested. And I realize for some of us, this is a difficult thing to really wrap our heads around. Because as we said in the prayer of confession, we live in a society that essentially says we are what we do. We are what we make. We are what we create. That our value and worth is only brought about by doing something, making something, creating something, being busy. But what God says is, guess what, folks? That's not true. Your value and worth is because you are a beloved child of God, made in the image and likeness of God. And because you are that thing and not a machine that is intended only to be producing, chill, rest, take a day off, take a deep breath, and trust that you are loved for who you are. For who you are. And not loved because of what you do or make or produce. So that's the first thing we need to realize about Sabbath. It's about rest. It's about rest. Now the second thing about Sabbath. Well, let me ask. So over your time in lockdown or any other time, how many of you at home or at work have ever started a project and actually finished it, and when you got it finished, you just kind of stood back and you thought, that's really good. Okay, yeah, that's good. And then maybe because it was so good, you went and got a pop. Sorry, that's hard for me to say from the South. You got a pop, and or a beer or a glass of wine, and you sat in a chair and you just looked at it and you said, yeah, that's good. That's what God does here. That's what God does. Listen again. I'm going to start at the end of chapter 1. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good, meaning it was fit for the purpose for which it was created. And it was created for the purpose of life and flourishing life. And God had created human beings to watch over this and to help the world flourish. And then when God did that, when the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude, on the seventh day, God finished what God had done, and God rested. And God looked and blessed that rest and hallowed it and said, this is a wonderful and unique and amazing thing, this rest. God appreciated God's creation. And that's the second thing that's supposed to happen on Sabbath. Again, if we live in imitation of God, we are supposed to stand back and look at creation and just appreciate how wondrous this creation is. This creation is pretty much predictable. There are laws of gravity and physics and thermodynamics, and we can figure out how to make planes fly through the air and not just fall out of the sky. We can build things, create things, we can plant things. We can create mRNA medicines because we know we can trust this amazing creation. And it's filled with beauty, utter beauty. Beauty and that leaves us in awe. And so on Sabbath, when we are resting, if we have the chance to look out and to appreciate this amazing creation that God has given us, with blue skies and rain and flowers and birds and just the whole of it. What happens when we do that is not only are we in awe of creation, we're in awe of the Creator. When we contemplate creation, it turns our hearts and our minds to the one that brought this into being. And in that sense, we praise God through the appreciation of this thing that God has brought into being. One of the gifts that Cindy and I had of living for so many years in San Antonio is that on about every other street corner was a Tex-Mex restaurant. Now, many of you probably have never had Tex-Mex food. You need to take a trip to Texas just to do it. Enchiladas, tamales, you know, all just this amazing food. And so on a regular basis, we would go out and have lunch or dinner at one of our favorite Tex-Mex restaurants. Sometimes we'd go out on Sunday with church members. We'd go out after church, and we'd see them, and they'd see us. But we knew there was one restaurant that we couldn't go to on Sunday, and that was Las Palapas. Las Palapas was a family-owned three-restaurant chain, and the reason we couldn't is because they were closed. And on the sign out front, which was always advertising whatever their special was, would be these words: closed Sunday for faith and family. I want you to think about that. For many restaurants, Sunday is the day. It is the day they make more money than virtually any other day of the week. And yet here the owners of this restaurant understood Sabbath. And they made Sunday their Sabbath. They made Sunday that day that their cooks rested, that their servers rested, that the owners rested. They understood what Sabbath was all about, and they made it integral, not just to their own lives, but even to their corporate lives. And so the question for all of us is, what's our day when we have that sign that says closed for faith and family? What is that day that we take a Sabbath, that we take to just rest and to be recharged and to enjoy God's good creation? And so that's my challenge to you, is to rethink Sabbath and to do your best to find that day, that time, when you can live into this gift that God has given us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so grateful that you call us to Sabbath, that we don't have to just work and work and work, but that we can take a deep breath and rest. Help us to listen to you and find our own Sabbath. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.